This morning we're going to be in Exodus chapter 14. If I wrote that down right, I'm pretty sure I did, but there's always a question. But this week, as I'm praying over this message, and even last week a little bit, I brought this cartoon. I've been on my phone watching cartoons from back when we were kids. Those were cartoons back then. Bugs Bunny and Droopy and all. Some of you don't know those because you're too young, but others that know those, you know what I'm talking about. And there was always one cartoon that it seemed like it was the hound on Foghorn Leghorn, that he would have on one shoulder would be the little devil, and on the other shoulder would be the little angel. And so if you understand the cartoons, that's what it would be. And one would be trying to talk him into doing good, and the other would, of course, end up talking him into doing what was wrong. And so as I'm watching these cartoons, I'm thinking, how real is that? How real is that, that when we go in to face a decision, we have one on each side, God telling us what to do, but then at the same time, we have that voice from the other side telling us what we know we shouldn't do. And so today we're going to look at the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea. We're going to look at the voices that they heard. And I want us to look at that in a way that we understand what they face, but then also apply it to what we face every single day of our lives. So if you would read along with me, I'm going to start in verse 5 of chapter 14. It says, "Now it was told that the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?' So he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. Also he took 600 chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea up at before Baal Zephon." I practiced that this week. I really did. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land, dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen.' And the angel of God who had went before the camp over Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them, so that it came between the camp of Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to one and gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong east wind all that night and made the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off the chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty, and the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Let's pray. Father, we just come before you. We thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, what you have always done, you have always fought for your people. Lord, we know you fight for us. Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Lord, we lift up this day. Pray that you would move among us. Help us to experience you through your word today. In your name we pray. Amen. Today I want us to put ourselves in the place of the children of Israel. Here they were, they had left, and it says that they, when they did leave, they left kind of cocky. I mean, they were giving them stuff, say, hey, take these animals, take this gold, take these jewels, and just leave. And so they were leaving, you know, with this cocky attitude. And then God hardens the heart of Pharaoh, and they begin to follow them. And so the enemy is trailing them as they're going through the wilderness. Happens all the time. We know that the Bible tells us that our enemy, the devil, is roaming around seeking whom he may devour. We know he's out there trailing us. Well, they had been following God. They had been following this cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so they knew that they were following God. They were going the direction God wanted them to go because they could see what he had put before them. And all of a sudden, they've got this huge obstacle in their life. And I mean, it's an obstacle that they just don't see any way to get around it. There's no way to get past this obstacle. And they turn around, and what happens? But not only is the enemy following them, the enemy is upon them. What are we going to do? That's where we're at today. The enemy is upon us. You can turn on the news, you can look on Facebook, you can go anywhere you want to go, and you better understand that the enemy is upon us. He is there. He's been trailing at a distance for a long, long time. But he's no longer distant because the world has accepted him in. But he is out to attack us. He has followed us. There are obstacles in our path sometimes that it just seems like there's no way I can get around the obstacles. God, I know I'm following you. I read your word and I Lord, I feel like it's as plain as if I'm following this cloud, as if I'm following this pillar of fire. We feel like we know we're in the presence of God. We know we're in the will of God. We're following him like we should. And obstacles still come. Obstacles that are not our fault. If you took any one person out of the children of Israel and they're in Egypt and hey, we're supposed to follow God, and they start going through the wilderness and they're listening to Moses and they're doing what Moses said. Now there were plenty that complained, but there were some that went and they were obeying and they were doing everything they were supposed to do, and then all of a sudden the obstacles are before you and the enemy is right behind you. What are you going to do? Well, let's look at Moses. Because he's the one that God said, you're going to do this. And he came up with every excuse he could think of. I stutter. Surely somebody else can do this better. He's not going to listen to me. And he came up with all these excuses of why he shouldn't be the one. And God said, no, you're going to be the one that leads these people to this mountain so that they can worship me. And so Moses knows he's doing what God had told him to do. And Moses is in the front of this group and the cloud stops by the sea. Did I take a wrong turn? Sometimes that's what I think. Okay, God, where did I miss what you told me to do? Moses is following. He's talking to God. He is spending his time right there by the cloud following. And then all of a sudden he gets to this point to make a decision, and he starts hearing voices. Well, that first voice, it's the enemy's voice. And it comes in a group of people. Sometimes it's one person, sometimes it's multiple people, sometimes it's people that you really know and you care about. And you know they care about you. But this group of people, I love the way they are so quick to turn, because they are the enemy, or the voice is of the enemy. Why didn't we just stay in Egypt? We didn't want to leave in the first place, and you made us leave. That's not what the Scripture says. But that's what they're telling him. Let's just surrender and go back. We were better off in our old life. I'm following God, and all of a sudden the obstacles are coming, and I'm facing all the enemy, and it would just be easier to go back and live the old life. So many of us have thought that. Because when you start following God and you start doing what He said, I guarantee you Satan's going to throw every obstacle in the world in front of you. And he's going to be nipping at your heels. And he's going to be telling you all the time, you were better off in that old life. You were never attacked. You were okay. You were doing okay. You had a house. You had a roof above you. You had a job. You were making a living. You had your family all around you. You weren't wandering through the wilderness. But now all of a sudden you've given your life to Christ, and it feels like sometimes you're in the wilderness because you're being attacked. Let me tell you, if you're not in the wilderness, then you're not following God. If you're in the world, if you're in the city, then you're not following God. These people were so quick to want to turn around and surrender and give up, let's go back, that they're screaming at Moses, it's all your fault. Just turn around and go back. Turn around and go back. And we hear Satan tell us that through many different people. Just go back and accept the things you used to accept. Put up with the things you used to put up with. Maybe even do the things you used to do. Choose me. Follow my voice. And it came in that group of people. And then we have the other voice that we know of here. And it's God when He says to Moses, He says, tell the people to go forward. He says, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. God is telling Moses, what are you doing standing here? Stretch out your rod. Hey, that's simple enough. We understand that. Use what you have for God. God has given him a rod to use. He'd used it before Pharaoh, threw it down, turned into a snake. He grabbed it back. A lot of faith. Me, probably not so much. I said, can we do this some other way? But he had that rod, and God said, use what you have. When you come to that decision, when you come to that Red Sea in your life, that obstacle that's there, and Satan is attacking you and he's whispering in this ear, understand that God's saying, just use what I gave you. Use what I gave you to do what I'm asking you to do. And not only did he just say, you stretch out your rod, he said, stretch out your hands. Raise up your hands so that everybody's going to know what you're doing. God wants you to raise your hands so people know who you're following. I'm the one doing this because God has told me to do it. It's so much easier for me to just sit back in a pew, keep my hands under my legs, and no one will ever know or expect me to do anything. But God said, no, stretch out your hands. You know, there's probably only one person in that whole group of thousands and thousands of people with his hands stretched out. He's the one trying to do what God told him to do. And if he's standing there on that rock by the sea and he's got his arms stretched out, how many people are looking at him? How many people are following him? How many people understand that he's doing what God had told him to do? And maybe I ought to listen to this guy. If he stands there on that rock or beside that rock with his hands in his pockets, where's everybody else going to look? Who's everybody else going to follow? God's expecting you and me to stretch out our hands and say, hey, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God called me to do, and I want you to watch. And if you follow me, it's because you're following God. That's what Moses was doing. Stretch out your... lift up your rod, stretch out your hands. Easy enough to say, not real easy to do. But look at the last part of that verse. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Hey, Moses, just go divide the sea. Wait a minute. I can lift up my rod. And I can stretch out my hands, but you're asking me to do something impossible. You're telling me to divide the sea. God, now let's stop and let's talk about this, God. I've got thousands of people complaining about what I've done, complaining about me following you. The enemy's at my heels. The sea is in front of me, and you're telling me to divide it? How am I... He had never done that before. He never took a class in dividing the sea. He had never performed that type of miracle before. And God says, go divide the sea. God is going to ask you to do something that you know is impossible. But if you're faithful in the little things, raising the rod, taking a stance for God, that when He tells you to do the big things, and you do the big things the same way that you attempted the little things, the God that says, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. It wasn't Moses that divided that sea. It was Moses' faith in the God of the possible. Our problem is we see the impossible, and before you know it, our hands come down, and our rod comes down, and we're standing back here trying to listen to this other voice that says, just go back to life the way it was. When nobody expected you to do the impossible. Nobody called you to do the things that you know you can't do. That's what faith is. Faith is doing the things that God says to do, and if I fall on my face, I fall on my face believing my God is going to do it. That's faith. That's what He calls us to do, is to live by faith. He is telling Moses here, divide the sea. Moses didn't argue. He lifted, he stretched, and God took over. But had he not had the attitude, had he not had the desire, had he not had the faith to step up to that sea and here goes, watch this, people. And then God took over. And the wonders of God happened. And it tells us how all night the wind blew and the bottom of the sea went to dry land. Wonders happened because of God. But look at the instrument. He could listen to those people saying, surrender and go back, give up, choose your old lifestyle. Or he could follow God saying, you just do what I ask you to do with what I gave you, and you'll be able to do the impossible. Because it will be my power doing the wonders through you. So he's listening to these two voices. Seems simple enough. Man, and for us, we know which one we would choose, right? We're going to choose God. Because we've read the chapter and we know what happens. But last week, which one did you choose? When God said, hey, I need you to take a stand for me. I need you to use what I've given you. I need you to do the impossible. The thing that you don't even think you can do. Because when it comes to that, then you've got to depend on Him. If He asks me to do something that I can do, then I don't have to depend on Him. But if He asks me to do something impossible, I have to depend on Him. And then what happens? He receives the glory and honor. Not just I will gain honor over Pharaoh and his army, but the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. When we step up and do what God's called us to do, when we listen to that voice on this side, God's going to receive glory and honor. So it seems really simple that we should listen to this one, right? And I've always looked at those cartoons of like I said, with the good on this side and the bad on this side, or whichever way it was, but on each side. But you know, when I was reading the scripture this week, there's a third voice. There's the voice of the enemy, and then there's the voice of God. And then there's the voice of me. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. He was right there. See the salvation of the Lord. He was right there. Which He will accomplish today. He was right there. The Lord will fight for you. He was right there. But there's two statements in there that I think we need to see. We automatically just assume that Moses was, he was rocking it. He was ready to go. But he said, stand still. Hold your peace. I really feel like after a lot of prayer and Bible study this week, I really feel like there he was wrong. When he said, just stand here and don't say anything. And I'll tell you why I think he was wrong. Because right after that, in verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell them to go forward. Why are you just standing here? Why are you just standing here crying out to me? Do what I've called you to do. Move forward. That voice that's in me, I hear the enemy. I hear God. And then for me, it seems like there's that voice that says, just stand here and wait and do nothing. I don't think that's what God wants us to do. There are times, yes, 100% when God says, be still and know that I'm God. But He's talking about in our heart, in our mind. When He calls us to do something, those three things, the raising the rod, the hands, and the dividing the sea, He expects us to do it. He says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the children to go forward. God is saying to us, don't stand there and expect somebody else to do it. Well, if I just stand here, God's going to take care of all the problems in the world. You know, when He tells me to go and take a stand against the pride flag or against whatever else it is, well, if I just step back and don't say anything, God's going to take care of it. I don't have to say anything because my God's going to fight for me. Yes, He is going to fight for me. He promises us that. But he also says, move forward. Don't stay where you are. We are so content to be where we are because I'm in a secure place. I have a faith in Jesus Christ. I know that when that eastern sky breaks and he comes through to take his Christians home, I know I'm going. I'm secure in my salvation with Jesus Christ through grace. By faith alone, I get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm secure in that. But that does not give me the right to stand back and just do nothing. And that's where about 99% of us are at. Because he says to go forward. Every person that came in this sanctuary and every sanctuary across the United States and across the world, every one of us needs to move forward. But we're content where we're at. And God says, no, there's more for you to do. There are lost people out there. There are lost people in here. And if you're lost, then you need to move forward. And the only way to move forward is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. To understand what He's done for you. Move forward. There are Christians out there that have never been baptized. And I know you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But when Jesus says for you to do that, to show the world what has taken place in you, then you need to do that. You need to move forward. If you are a newborn Christian and you've not been a Christian real long and you're not in any Bible studies or you're not in any type of a personal Bible study or devotion, then you need to move forward. Because if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. If you are a Christian and you're teaching a Bible study and that's your study time, then you need to move forward and start studying more for yourself. I don't care if you're the strongest Christian in the world, you're still not there. Move forward. That's what he tells us to do. Wherever we're at, we're not there. Well, at least I'm not over there, Pastor. That's right. You don't want to be over there. But you shouldn't want to stay here. You should want to be more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. And some of us can't say that. And we should want to be more like Jesus tomorrow than we ever were today. And some of us know that's not going to happen. It's up to you to move forward. Now Moses, God said to tell the children to go forward. I can tell you to move forward. Your parents can tell you to move forward. Your kids can tell you to move forward. Your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your friend can tell you to move forward. They can even point you the way. Moses is standing up on this rock. Move forward. Right through here. But each person had to walk through that Red Sea on their own. And whatever obstacles in front of you, you will never get through it unless you move forward. Imagine somebody coming up and Moses is standing there and the Red Sea is gone, is split and it's dry ground. And somebody walks up and says, well, that's pretty cool what God done. But I think I'm going to stay on this side of the river. How stupid can you get? Pardon my English. But wouldn't that be right? But how many times have I, before I was a Christian, since I've been a Christian, got to the point where God says, move forward, here's where you're supposed to go. And I say, I'd just as soon stay right here. It's up to us to decide which voice you're going to listen to. Now, we pretty much know, if you're here today, we know we're not supposed to listen to the enemy's voice. But man, he can make it sound really good sometimes. But he's still your enemy. He does not want you to get any closer to God than you are right now. Because you are a threat to him. So he's going to do everything he can to draw you to his side. And if you're like me, I'm going to always say, well, there's somebody else that could be doing this. Or if I sat right here, maybe God will write this big sign in the sky that says, Steve, do this. And he will line that cloud with a silver lining and I will know exactly what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just going to wait until I see that cloud. I'm going to wait until I know. If I have 17 people come to me and say, God told me to tell you to do this, I'll go. But I'm not going for 16. That's where we're at. That voice inside us that just says, I'm not going wrong, but I'm not sure I'm ready to go right yet. We've got to go forward. I used to tell the youth all the time, and I know you've probably heard this analogy, it's like an escalator that we always used to all run up backwards. The minute you stop running, you're going backwards. Oh, don't pretend like you haven't done that. Sears was the greatest place when you were a kid. And not just a kid, but anyway. It's one of those things, that's our spiritual life. God says move forward. Have you ever seen a pond that had no outlet? It becomes stagnant and gross. The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because of that. How many Christians are out there that are like the Dead Sea because they just don't have a way of moving forward? I just want to stay and listen to that voice in my head that says, there will be a better time. God knows I can't divide the sea. He knows I can't do the impossible. He knows I'm sitting here waiting on Him. And He says, well, why do you keep asking me to do this for you and you're not willing to go forward? Steve, you always ask me, how can you glorify me? How can you honor me more? And then when I tell you what to do, you don't do it. You never move forward. Your Bible study hasn't increased. Your quiet time hasn't grown. Your ministry opportunities haven't grown. Because you won't move forward. I'm going to close with this. Like Peter, if you stay in the boat, you never walk on water. Like Abraham, if you never climb the mountain, you never see God's provision. If you stay in the pew, you will never see the wonders of God. If you stand still and do nothing, others may miss out on the deliverance as well. Think about this just for a second. If Moses had said, I'll raise my rod, I'll raise my hands, but I'm not doing the other. How many people would have missed out on deliverance? One man following God changed the lives of that many people. How many lives are you willing to let God change because you're willing to say, hey, I'll give you what I've got, God. You use it. I will be accounted for. I will take a stand. I'll raise my hand. And God, I'm going to step out in my life on faith and I'm going to do the impossible because I know I serve a God that is possible with all things. How many people will you change? If you've never accepted Christ, then you're never stepping through that sea. You'll never experience the deliverance of our Savior. He died on the cross to open that way for us to heaven. To take away the sins of the world. He sacrificed His life so that you could move forward in a relationship with Him. As Christians, He died on that cross so that you could continue to move forward. He promised to send His Spirit to lead you and guide you as you do move forward. So stop standing still and move forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Father, forgive me. Forgive us where we fall short. But Lord, we thank You for the wonders. We thank You for the power. We thank You for everything that You've called us to do. You've given us opportunities, and we thank You for that. Lord, may we seek to honor You. We seek to glorify. We seek to praise You in everything that we do, Father. Help us to do that, because without You, God, we can't do it. Lord, help us to know the voice You call us to follow. Father God, give us what we need. We thank You and we praise You for Your Spirit. In His name we pray.